we're going to stand and do, let's just praise the Lord. Y'all don't have words, but it's really easy. Remember from last week, it's let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let me say it again. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. So let's give it a try.
Let us pray together. May we praise you by praying. May we praise you by singing. May we praise you by reading scriptures and proclamation of the word. May we praise you by taking your holy communion. May we praise you by renewal of vows. May we praise you by our faith. Let us praise you with all that we are. With everything that we have and all the energy we possibly can muster. And in the midst of that, let us hear your voice, praising God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing. You will find it on page 400. Ask that you would remain standing and join me in the Confession and Pardon, page 8 in your United Methodist hymn book. Let us join together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray together. We pray, O Lord, that we will hear the cry of the needy, that we will forgive, that we will repent of the brokenness that we have caused, and that we will receive love from those who have sinned against us, that we will listen, and that we'll hear what needy really is as compared to what needy says it is. And that we will listen to the prayers of the ones who truly are in need, both physically, spiritually, and mentally. That we will hear your love and your grace. And that we will be one body, one bread. And that we will join together in prayer for each other. So we ask, O Lord, that you would grant to us the ability to open our hearts to each other and that we have the ability to pray for and with each other. And on this day, grant us your peace. We ask, O Lord, if there are prayer requests that are to be lifted aloud, let us lift them at this very moment before you and this congregation. And we ask, O Lord, if there are silent prayers within our soul, let us lift those silent prayers to you, knowing that we are praying with each other. Lord, in your mercy, let us hear all of these prayers and let us be moved, changed, and loved because of them. And in them, let us feel your presence. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit be with each of us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Hymn number 620, One Bread and One Body. Let us stand and let us sing together if you are able. Page 620, One Bread, One Body. Thank you. may be seated. We asked our ushers to come forward this time. Let us pray together. May we give our entire being to you, for indeed that is what you have given to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So for communion, want to remind you that you would turn to page 15 in your Nye Methodist hymn book when we get to that moment. You're used to reading it off the screen, but you'll be on page 15, so know that that will be the page you'll be at. And for one further instruction with that is know that as you look at page 15, I will leave you sometimes and read something else, but I will come back. Okay, so you'll notice that as you do that. So be aware that that is how we will go through the communion time. Now, scripture this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Y'all have that figured out by now. Verse 13 through verse 16 for this morning. This is an interlude. Okay, this has not got a Genesis text attached to it. This is the author of Hebrews taking this period of time to remind you where he's come from and where he's going. All right, so this is that interlude time. You're not free to go get popcorn. You're not free to go get a drink. You need to stay here, but it is that interlude that they're having here. So that's that. What's happening with this scripture. But again, it's Hebrews 11. It begins with verse 13 and goes through verse 16. If you are able and willing, would you please stand for the reading of God's holy word? Listen carefully. All of these, ones we've talked about over the past few weeks, died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance, they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. But people who speak in this way make it clear that they are not, that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. God has made for us a city. And yet the journey has to happen before we arrive. Sometimes, oh Lord, we just kind of stop on the journey and put our feet up and say, that's enough. Sometimes our feet are put up for us. The journey has to happen. It is a calling. All of us are called. It is a blessing. All of us are blessed. It is a hope. All of us need to have hope. Let us walk this journey from this place to the next. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You'll notice as we read this text that it begins by saying, all these died in faith. People we've talked about up to this point, we've looked at the creation part of it. We've moved on to Noah and the ark. We've spent time with Abram, then Abraham, and we've watched all the things that occurred there, and we've seen the promises that were kept even if the humans tried to get in the way We've watched all those things unfold, and he surmises this by saying, all these died in faith without having received the promises. So I want to ask you a question. I want you to be thoroughly honest with yourself. Whether you're honest with me or not, doesn't matter. Nobody's ever lied to me, I'm sure. Everybody's always been fully truthful and in the confidence with me, and that's great, but telling me the truth or not telling me the truth has almost, if any, bearing on your salvation. It's God that you have to be honest with, and to be honest with God, guess who you have to be honest with first? Yourself. And when you lie to yourself, I'm not mad at that person. I forgave them. There are some of my best friends. I would never be angry at them. When you're lying to yourself, God just sits there and goes, whenever you're ready, I'm awaiting. But you got to get your act together with yourself first. Some people think you got to go to God and get your act together first. God's always ready to forgive. But how many times have you asked forgiveness for the same sin over and over and over? Sometimes I wonder, and this is the only time I think God has a big stick, and I wish he'd use it. It's one of those times that after a while we've asked forgiveness for the same thing. Don't you think God wants to say, I'm about to hit you. I am so tired of you asking me forgiveness for something I've already forgiven you for. How much forgiveness do you need? Now God knows the answer. But don't you just wonder just how much God wants to say to us people, I've forgiven you, would you get over it? But you know, we don't get over it very well, do we? We love to carry it around. You know, I've learned something and from Gracie. This may surprise her. I've learned something from her. Eighth graders carry a grudge. They carry it like, if it happens on the first day of eighth grade, they're still carrying it on the last day of eighth grade. Because she tells me stories. I'll ask her, I say, was any fights at school today? And she'll say, almost. Or this happened, or that happened, or, you know, I'm a bad parent because I always asked if there were any fights first before I asked her how her grades were. I want to know the drama. And if you don't think you're not that way, how many times do you like to read papers and look at stuff just to see what drama's unfolding? I mean, we love the drama. If we didn't like drama, by the way, about 90% of the shows on TV wouldn't make it. We love drama. We like the stuff. Well, you know, it all boils down to us. Wars don't start because somebody learned to forgive. Wars start because we don't know how to forgive, or we're greedy. It's about 50-50. That's how things unfold. And see, we have to be willing to advance without receiving the promise. How many of y'all have promises that you haven't received yet from God? Now, I paused a minute just to see, I want your attention. How many of us have promises from God we haven't received yet? Well, I can think of one. By the way, I don't want it yet. The promise of heaven, life after death, awaits me. I'm in no hurry to get there. There may be a few people in a hurry for me to get there, but I'm in no hurry to arrive. That's a promise that's out there. Okay? So, they'll tell you when they get here, but and I hope they make it on time. If not, we'll do it in the fellowship hall. They may have found out it's hot in here and went over there. But Jane and Buddy told me that the person who married them, the day after he married them, the church burned down. And 3 weeks after, the pastor had a heart attack and died. I'm really contemplating whether I'm going to do this or not. And so that's what happened when they got married the first time. Marriage lasted. They're 50 years in. Church and the pastor didn't make it very long. So if I start looking peaked, you know, just tape me. There's all those things wrapped up in life. The promises that are there. I wonder about that. Yesterday at our house, we had our oldest daughter, her husband, and Leah, our 9-year-old grandbaby, there. They know this without me saying it. Leah's a smidge busy. Fair? Yeah, okay. But I look at her and I realize that I'm never going to see the promise that's in her. I might see part of it. But if I live till she's 70 and she's 9, somehow I doubt, maybe, but somehow I doubt my 66 plus 61 years of life is going to get me there. And by the way, I don't think Marilyn really wants to live with me that long anyway, because she couldn't put up with me that long. I mean, can you imagine living with me for 122 years? That's what I thought. There's, as we talk about promises, there's a promise out there that we're never going to fully see from God until our time ends. These folks, even differently, die, and they don't get to see the promise. Now, what's the promise? Jesus. They have died. Moses and them don't get to see the promise. Although, if you go to Transfiguration, you've got a slightly different picture. But we're doing Hebrews, so we're going to stay with him. Watch how this unfolds. So, but from a distance, they saw and greeted the promises, them. How's your vision? I don't mean your glasses. How's your spiritual vision? Can you see promises that you're never going to get to be part of? Can you vision how God's going to change the congregation here, how it's going to grow, how it's going to be different? Can you envision how things will unfold, even though you may not be able to see it? Can you envision things are going to occur in our neighborhood and in our families? Can you see with spiritual eyes the promise? These folks never have a glimpse, not only of Jesus, they never get a glimpse of them entering the promised land fully. They never get a glimpse of the milk and honey that they get to stay with where it flowed. They never get any of those things. They see it through spiritual eyes and faith. So when somebody says, do you have faith? And you say, well, I believe in Jesus, my Lord and Savior. That is a great faith. But you have to have more than that because you're supposed to grow in the faith. It's supposed to increase and enlarge and change you and make you different. If it doesn't do that, my friends, I'm sorry. You may have saving grace, but you don't have growth grace that lets you see the fullness of what God wants to do in you. You have to have both. It has to feel. So watch it. Watch, he's trying to get us to see this. So a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. This isn't my home. That's where I'm at today. In the home we live in, every time I've moved into a house, and we moved into parsonages all of our life until with the house we're in now, which we finally bought one, first time in our marriage. But every time we moved into parsonage, it was my goal to make the parsonage a better place for the person that came after me. I wanted the home to be better for them. Whether I'm in that house 1 year or 15 years, it doesn't matter. I want it to be better for them because that is not my final home. I don't know if y'all know this or not. If you've been Methodist any minute of your life, you know that there'll be a day that some dude or dudess will be standing in this pulpit preaching where I'm standing right now. I am not, I pray, the final voice that preaches from this place. Somebody else will do it. I can be replaced. And I like that. You know why I like it so much? It means it's not all on me. Somebody else will follow me. Somebody else will come and do better work than I do. Somebody else will proclaim better than I proclaim. Somebody else will come to this place and speak better than I can possibly speak. Somebody else will be in this place. I'm a stranger here. I said to you the other day, the perfect Methodist minister song is, I'm a poor, wayfaring stranger. Travel through this world of woe. We travel through. Mary Lynn and I just travel. We're Methodist to the core. Bishop calls. What do we do, Mama? We pack up the thing. She yells at me and says something about, couldn't you stop it? And or she says, how come it didn't happen sooner? I mean, it's depending on the place, you know. And but when the bishop calls, what do? We've never asked for any place or anybody, because we always feel like God knows where we need to be. I'm a poor, wayfaring stranger, and so are you. Your home that you live in, whether you've lived there 1 year or 60 years, I hate to break it to you, but you're not the final person to go live in that house. Somebody else is going to live there one day. You're a stranger, Pastor. They knew that, and they expressed it. Notice what he says. They confessed they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. The Bible turns appropriately for me. That they're seeking a homeland. If they've been thinking of this land, if they've been thinking of the land they left behind, they would have opportunity to return. If I could read it right, it makes sense. For people who speak in this way, it's clear they are seeking a homeland. If they had been seeking or thinking of this land, the one they left behind, they would have an opportunity to return. So Abram, God says, go into a place I have not shown you. How many times do you think Abraham wanted to turn around and go back? You think Sarah ever come to him and said, honey, Mary Lynn's done this before, honey, did you ask directions? Did you ever just say to God, left or right? Can you get the God GPS out and say, over here where there's water instead of this daggum desert? I mean, can you imagine the tent conversation? I mean, y'all think they just went, right? And nobody said anything? All right, we'll just go. Yeah, we know better than that, because they can't even decide when to have the right baby. So, I mean, you know, think of the process of this. They just go, and they could have turned around. You ever think that Noah, sitting there with his hammer and nails building the ark every now and then, wanted to say to God, really? Have you heard all the stuff I'm putting up with? Because I'm building this ark. And by the way, Lord, just to let you know, it's never rained. And have you ever tried to gather two skunks together and make them go into the boat? I mean, think of the, I just want you to think of the humanity, the humanness of the people we're talking about. Don't miss it. Don't lose it. He's trying to say to you, if they weren't thinking of what was ahead, guess what they would have done? They would have turned around and went back. See ya. Now, they'd have missed a blessing, but funny thing about blessings, if you don't know they're coming, you don't really miss them. What's the process of it? Opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country. That is a heavenly one. Oh, wow. I know y'all have all heard the joke, and y'all know I don't tell jokes well. Amen? Y'all all know that already, but now I don't do jokes well. But y'all have all heard the joke. clergy person gets up and preaches this great sermon on going to heaven, goes that hellfire and brimstone way about how awful hell is, and great sermon on going to heaven, wants to know how many people want to go to heaven. How many of y'all want to go to heaven and be there? And he asked for a show of hands from the congregation. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Not one person raised their hand. Not a soul. Finally, one so brave person in the back of the room raises their hand and says, "Can I ask a question?" The pastor said, "Of course. Are you planning on going today? Because I really got stuff to do. And if you're talking about going later, I want to go. We all want to go later, but we don't want to go today. Anybody want to go today?" See, there's a Gaither vocal song that said everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today. What are they trying to say? I don't want to go today either. But if I lose the vision of a better country that's heavenly, I may manage not to go at all. What are my eyes set on? What is my vision on? Do we worry about things that we can't do anything about? Or do we put our eyes on God and let God handle the things that we can't fix anyway? So I walked in this morning. Gracie's at my desk. Got her phone out. Doesn't even look up at me. "Hey, Dad." "Yes, Gracie." "Air conditioner's broke. Mom's not wearing a robe. Do what you want to." "Okay, Gracie. I'm wearing my robe." She knows that. Then she finally looks up at me. "All right, if you're waiting on me to fit your air conditioner, I'll go lay hands on it with anointing oil in a few minutes and we'll see how it works, but that's all I got." God may fix it. God can, right, Lay? Yeah. But if you want me to take a tool to fix it, you might as well go get the truck to haul it out of here, because the time I get through fixing it, it's not ever going to work again. That's why Marilyn doesn't let me fix things at home. She knows better. Amen? Yep. So what I'm trying to say to you is, my sight can't be on what we see. I love y'all. My sight is on teaching y'all to know how to look for your sight to heaven. I can't get you there. If you're waiting on me, you're in trouble. For a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, now if we've done all these things, right? We've went, we've not looked back, we've went to the land God sent us to go to, we've built the ark that God wants us to build, we've done all the things we're supposed to do, we may have made a few mistakes here or there, but we're able to get a piece of wood and patch it so it worked just fine, it all works out well, it's going to be waterproof because God made it so. We've done all those things, and then it says this, and we've looked for a better country. And then it says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, one could build a whole sermon around this, and one did not do this morning, but we could have. Is God ashamed to be your God? Great sermon there. What would it take for God to be ashamed of us? Wow. Isn't it a good question? Doesn't it stir you? It should stir you to think. It's like I asked the choir. We're going to see how they did. I asked the choir to look up the definition of Ebenezer. Y'all sang, "Here I raise my Ebenezer" this morning. What's an Ebenezer? Do what? Say it loud. With stone? Raise my Ebenezer? Now y'all get to help them. Figure out what an Ebenezer is. I could give you the answer and that would be like cheating. I want y'all to figure it out. What is Ebenezer? What are you raising? You sang it. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come. There's your clue, by the way. And so it's all sitting there. If you look at this, what would it take God to be ashamed of you? And I have an answer for you here. I'm not going to make you struggle. Are you ashamed of God? Are you ashamed to do the little things that Christians do? I'm not talking about going out and making a speech in front of 5,000 people. I'm not talking about leading the worship service. I'm not even talking about you going down the street corner here in Rockwood and start preaching like some of the street preachers do. And God bless them. There's some interesting folks doing that, but there's some called people doing that too, and we need to understand that. And to support that, even though we may look at them and go, still there's some great folk does that. I'm not asking you to do any of that. In fact, I'm really not asking you to do anything except live your life in front of others that they would know Jesus lives in you. That's what I'm asking. And you know what? That's different for you than it is for me. It always acceptance of Christ as our Lord and Savior, but how we live our lives is defined way differently for you than it is me. I don't know if you know this or not, but people expect preachers to act right. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. In fact, when a preacher sins, have you ever noticed people get all upset when a preacher sins? And they always ask the question, we've heard it all of our lives, do you believe a pastor did that? And I always look and go, yeah. See, I want you to work through this because we're getting ready to take communion. And as you take it, I want you to involve yourself in the taking. Now here's the final sentence here. Listen to it carefully. Start back one before. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, He has prepared a city for them. We always get caught up in the New Testament, which I know is where Hebrews is, but he's talking about the Old Testament folk. We get caught up in the New Testament of God preparing that new heaven and new earth for us. And we talk about Israel, the new city, and all those different things. You do understand that, as Hebrews is trying to teach you this, that city has been prepared for those dear folk that died before Jesus came a long time ago. We're not waiting on it to be built. Now, this is where I prefer the King James over the New Revised Standard. When I do funerals, I break my King James out for the funerals, because when I'm going to read that scripture says that God has prepared a mansion for us, I like it better than the New Revised Standard that says God's prepared a room for us. I want the mansion. Anybody else want to go with me to the mansion thing? That's a little greedy, don't you think? But the psalm says it. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. In that land where, so we get greedy here too, we'll never grow old. Think about it. We had all that things working with us. I'm in a singing mood. I may just sing the wedding thing if they get here. Look at this as it unfolds. The city's already ready. Y'all waiting on something that's already been done. You're hoping something gets accomplished that God's going, I got this. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Notice the individuality of this all. Though it's in the Old Testament, the city's been built. Jesus comes to his apostles and says, I go to prepare a place for you. I've always imagined, by the way, I have no scripture for this. This is the Gospel of David. Did you have that much? That's worth, right? I've always imagined that wherever my place is, I'm going to live in heaven. It's going to have my name on it. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, God's not going to prepare something without a name on it, is he? But here's what my name's going to be. God's child. I'm not going to say David. God's child. Name's going to be there because God knows I had faith. It was pretty poor sometimes. I failed sometimes. Can you say Abraham? Can you say David? Y'all fail any? But on that, it's going to be that place. City prepared. Well, I'm still like the lady in the back of the congregation. I want to go, but not today. I've still got all that in place. But the city's there. Now, I told you to turn to page 15, if you would join me there. This is the Great Thanksgiving. What I'm using is the Great Thanksgiving for the season after Pentecost. They will come together as we read. So just follow with me as we do this. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now allow us, O Lord, to pray the prayer you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we will serve the choir first, and then we will come down into the sanctuary and serve y'all. I can never get this one up in my hands. Thank you. Well, it looks like our young couple didn't make it. We'll go next door and do it in air conditioning. Amen. They'll be there. We pray. And so they may come in at any minute. So we'll see how it goes. We'll sing our closing hymn at this point. It is Nothing But the Blood. It's page 362. We'd ask you to stand and sing together. Go to the fellowship pile and pray that everything is good over there. So let us go in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you. May God's love be forever with you. May God's love enrich you, and may your journey be complete. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.